What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
You don't know what that art is, Mr. Trash. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired, I'm too fucking blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
We always want the truth, but do we get it? Who knows? Because you want to know what? The truth shall set you free. This is Tim. This is Get Off My Lawn, the Mad Ramblings of a Gen Xer, bringing you another episode talking about the Putin price hikes, talking about Putin Turkey Day, talking about the new Christmas Story movie, Christmas, I believe it's called. We're going to review that a little bit and talk about that. But I find it interesting that everything's always the boogeyman's fault. Everything's the bot's fault. Everything's everyone else's fault, but the people who caused the problems. And I think that is, that's just the way this direction of this world is gone. You know what? And we've talked about it before. We talked about it in the past. It's personal responsibility. Who wants to take personal responsibility? Not many people. So of course, Thanksgiving is rolling around. Thanksgiving's in a couple days, and the prices for everything have gone up exponentially, as I believe inflation is still around 7.7, down from like 8.4, so it's dropped a little bit over the last couple months, but of course, our fearless leader, Biden, Mr. Joe Biden, comes out and says, don't worry, if you want anyone to blame for Thanksgiving, it's Putin's fault. Of course it is, because last time I checked, Putin ran out there and jacked up all the prices on the turkeys. I believe they also had to destroy something like 3 million turkeys this year because of the avian flu. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to just talk about how Putin's war has caused all these problems. Dun, dun, dun. We don't want to look at the fact that when Mr. Biden entered office, that the inflation rate had risen, I believe, 12 straight months or almost 14 straight months before Putin even invaded. So the prices of everything were going up already. Inflation was around like 7.4 before Putin stepped or any troops, Russian troops stepped anywhere into the Ukraine. It was already around 7.4. Gas prices were already rocketing up to an all-time high. We had almost, I believe it was either 12 to 14 months of increases in inflation each month in a row. But somehow we need a boogeyman. We need someone else to blame. We need to blame Putin once again for us having to pay more this Thanksgiving. Oh God, I can't wait for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate. We celebrate Christmas, so I can't. So Merry Christmas! I can't wait for Christmas because reindeer feed must be going through the roof because you know we probably get reindeer feed from the Ukraine as well, and it'll be the Putin reindeer feed increase hike. But I guess as a nation, if you keep repeating things to us, they think we're like children, that we are going to regurgitate. We're not going to think for ourselves. And I think thinking for ourselves is probably the smartest thing anyone can do. So to sit there and pander to us, treat us like we're four-year-olds, that we can't read, that we can't look at things and think for ourselves and say, well, it was Putin's fault. You're spending a lot on Thanksgiving because Putin turned around, had this war. We're going to ignore the fact that we had 14 straight months of increases in inflation when I took office. We are going to ignore the trillions of dollars we spent with the American Rescue Act. Which most economists say overheated the economy when it was unnecessary. We're just not going to take personal responsibility. I always love it now because now the new thing is the bots. The bots did it. I'm going back to Twitter, and Twitter had this poll, and Elon Musk put out a poll that, do you want Donald Trump back? So the majority of people, not the majority, but a larger number of people, of course, voted to keep Donald. I put Donald Trump back on Twitter. So after that happened, it was something like 6 million to 5 million in favor of having him come back on Twitter. After that happened, you had the pundits on certain liberal stations sitting there going, well, you know, it was the bots. The bots did it. All the bots did the voting. It couldn't have just been that people voted. No. It was the bots. And I laugh because everyone that doesn't know what an internet bot is, the definition is a software application that runs automated tasks over the internet, usually with the intent to imitate humans' activity on the internet, such as messaging on a large scale. Da-da-da. It was the bot. It was the Putin price hike. The bot went and attacked the poll for Twitter. And there was even some talk in some scuttlebutt a little bit that during the Taylor Swift fiasco of a Ticketmaster, that it was bots that went and attacked when bots attack.
Don't know what one.
Don't know me, Mr. Roboto. Hey, I am a bot. I am going to vote for Donald Trump 4,678,000 times. Mars needs women.
Just love it. I love it because you know what? People couldn't just vote for Trump. It was the bots. Same with Ticketmaster. Same with everything else. I was flipping around the TV the other day, and I didn't even know this was going to happen, but they came up with a new Christmas Story movie. It is now called The Christmas Story Christmas. Ralphie and his friends are now all adults. And I just laugh because, you know, I was, they did a remake with Daniel Stern, back in the early, I don't think it was like 2011, 2014. I can't remember what it was. And it was horrible. It was the Christmas Story part two. And it was about Ralphie trying to buy a car, and it was just a bad movie. And then they tried to do the live Christmas Story, a musical. Now listen, I am a huge fan of the 1983 original classic.
Cry, baby, cry for me. Come on, cry.
Deep in the recesses of my brain, a tiny red-hot little flame began to grow. A fuse blew, and I had gone out of my skull.
You always want to go out of your skull. As a kid, you always wanted to do that to a bully. Ralphie took care of his bully. Ralphie took care of the evil Scott Farkas. But like I said, after the dismal, Christmas Story 2, the official Christmas Story movie. After that fiasco, you would think it would have killed the franchise. Even though it's really not a franchise. If you have one movie, it's not really a franchise. But evidently, Peter Billingsley, who is a pretty successful director, which I did not know, teamed up with some other people, and they came up with the new story, A Christmas Story Christmas. I don't want to give away too much into it, but it occurs back in 1973, which is 33 years after the original Christmas Story. So Ralphie has moved away from his home in Indiana and now lives in Chicago. He's got a wife. He's got two kids. He took, and I love this because I don't understand this part of the story, but he took a year off evidently to write his first novel. Anyone that remembers the original Christmas Story, he got a C+ on his magnum opus. He got a C+ on his Why the Red Ryder BB Gun is the best Christmas present ever to give a kid. So he wants to become a writer, and they talk about how he's taking this year off. They talk about how if he doesn't, after a period of time, find success as a writer, he's going to go back to the rat, right? So you don't really know what Ralphie does. And it's not really giving away much of the story, but they're getting ready for his parents, Ralphie's parents, that is, to come visit him in Chicago like they do every year. And Ralphie's father, the old man, passes away like 2 weeks before Christmas. So Ralphie has to go back to Indiana, back to his parents' house, and he's got to take care of not only the arrangements for his father, but everything in regards to Christmas. Because as we all know, the old man was gifted at Christmas. He had that kindred spirit that some adults have. You know, they may be a Scrooge for 11 months out of the year, but when that cold wind blows that December 1st, there's something that it melts their icy heart. Tell me what Christmas special that's from. So the old man has always been, kept Christmas in his heart, and his passing, Ralphie has to carry on the torch, and he has to turn around and save Christmas for the Parker family. I always forget that Ralphie's last name is Parker. And they go through, you know, he runs into his old buddies. He runs into Schwartz and Flick, who still live in the town. Flick, of course, is, you know, it's interesting because Flick was one of those characters. He was kind of the, he was the ringleader, but he was kind of the guy that got everyone stirred up. Got everyone moving forward. Scott Schwartz was the guy that played Flick in the original movie. He was also in Kid Co and the evil movie, The Toy, with Richard Pryor, where it was very racist, the movie. Richard Pryor. Jackie Gleason is the dad of Scott Schwartz in the movie The Toy, and they basically buy Richard Pryor. And I always thought slavery was, you know, was gone, but evidently in the early 80s, slavery was okay. And it's also interesting that, Scott Schwartz went on to do or have a career in porn. He did, I think it was 12 movies, and they said in a non-performing role, but he did 12 movies and he directed some movies and some other things. So he's back. The original guy that played Flick is back. The original Scott Farkas is back. The original Randy is back. Randy, of course, is Ralphie's brother. So everybody's back. And it's weird though, because they tried to recapture this. They tried to recapture this magic that the original Christmas story had. And I got to move the microphone. I'm getting a new microphone, but I had to move the microphone. Getting a shock mount and all those other fun things. But they tried. I mean, the 1983 version of Christmas Story was not what they would refer to as a commercial success. It found more success during the holiday season, of course, on VHS and then DVD and then on cable and everything else. I'm not going to say it was a cult classic because you know what? Now they play it 24 hours of Christmas Story TBS, the cable station. And it's just interesting that it was weird the way they did this movie. I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was weird the way this movie was, the way it was made. They tried to take all the nuances of Ralphie, all the things that made him special in the movie, all of his looks, all of his grins, all of his demeanors, and they transported it into a 41-year-old man, because I believe Ralphie was 8 when the movie originally occurred. And then you find, and they had some subtle things about Ralphie, which, you know, I don't think everyone noticed about it. Evidently, Ralphie was in the Korean War. He was a Marine, because you could literally see in his home a picture of him in his Marine uniform. And it's just weird that when you first, I will tell you this if you're going to watch it. When you first start watching the film, it's weird because you're kind of like, am I liking this? Am I not liking this? You think in the first 10 minutes they're trying too hard. They're trying too hard to recapture the magic they had, like I said, in the original film. And I laugh though, because if you can get through the first 10 minutes, and I'm telling you, it's like 10, 15 minutes. You get through that first 10, 15 minutes, the movie's actually pretty good. And as it progresses, you see more things in the movie that pay homage to the original. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm going to triple dog dare you. I'm going to triple dog dare you to watch it and watch it in its entirety. Because like I said, it's one of those things that when you initially see Ralphie, a 41-year-old Ralphie making his Ralphie face and is raising his eyebrows and everything else, you sit there and you're like, this is kind of cringeworthy. But as it goes on you're like, okay, this isn't bad. Then it starts getting pretty good. There are some scenes with his family that just crack you up. You know, I laugh though because they give a little nod to the 70s where it seemed that every parent was an alcoholic, because there's a lot of drinking in this movie. There's a lot of drinking in this movie done by Ralphie's mom and Ralphie's wife. So it's kind of fun to watch. You get a little bit sad though when you see an older Flickin' Schwartz, because you're like, damn, they did not age well. Ralphie aged pretty well. Peter Billingsley, you know, he's aged pretty well here. And I have to say that I'm not going to get into it, but Zach Ward, who plays Scott Farkas, steals the show. Steals the show when his scenes steal. It steals the show for this movie. It really does. Now, I like Zach Ward because he's been in a couple movies. He did an early 2000 TV series called Titus with a comedian named Christopher Titus, which is another good series to watch. It's a more of a, again, it's another Gen X thing. So I remember him directly from that movie as well. But like I said, he is a scene stealer. He is something that you wait for to come in. And at the end of the day, when everything happens and the family goes through everything that they need to go through, it ends on a happy note, and I think it ends on a note that you would think it would for a movie of this type. And as, like I said, and as it pays direct homage, and the ending is truly a direct homage to the original Christmas Story. And I have to give them two thumbs up. It was done by Warner Brothers Pictures and Legacy Pictures as well. It's been in development, I guess, for a long time now. And I laugh because, the actress that plays the mom, she is the same actress. It was Julie Haggerty. She's also the same woman that played in all the airplane. She was the female lead in all the airplane movies. Because, of course, the old man passed away years ago. Same with the actress that played his wife. But it's funny to see Julie Haggerty from Airplane mixing it up here, you know, in Indiana with the Parkers. But like I said, if you get a chance to watch it, I would watch it. What sucks about it is this. It's only on HBO Max. That's the only way you can watch this. And I laughed though, because I didn't even know what the hell HBO Max was. I really didn't, because I was looking for the movie on iTunes. I was looking at it on Amazon, Netflix, everything else. And then someone goes to me, it was on HBO Max. So evidently, I didn't know that it was a subscription, a video on demand service, which is owned and operated by Warner Brothers Discovery. It's just one of these things you got to pay again for. I had to pay $14.99 for 1 month so I can watch this. I will say this though, HBO Max, Netflix, Amazon, all these other, Amazon Prime, I guess it is, all these other things that create their own movies, create their own content. Now, they're pretty good. I really liked the Jack Reacher saga on Amazon. I thought that was great. Will Smith that did that movie, I believe it was called Bright, where he was the cop in the future, and he was, which was a ripoff of Alien Nation with James Caan and Manny Patinkin. But, you know, he was an alien, he was a cop from the future, he was partnered with an alien, blah, 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 blah. It was, you know, like I said, everything's all secular. There are no original ideas anymore in this world. They're just all we have now is remakes. But they really stepped up their game in regards to creating content, to the fact that they had a survey the other day. I can't remember what channel I saw it on, where they were talking to people about going back to the movies, because evidently they're saying that the golden age of Hollywood is now dead. That you can create these direct to streaming movies and still make the same amount of money that you probably would have made, if not more, than having it in the theater. And people spoke about how the theater was an experience, how the theater was something, it's date night. It's a movie in the theater. So you'll have certain people that will always say, you know what, I will never get away from not going to the movie theaters. Listen, I don't like going to the movies. My wife goes to the movies with my son all the time. I hate going to the movies. I hate sitting there with people I don't know. I hate sitting there with people that could potentially be sick. I hate sitting there with people that could talk. Boy, I really am Gen X. I just hate people. No, I'm just joking. But I'd rather just watch it in the comfort of my home. I have a 70-inch TV. I'd rather watch it on that. I have an inflatable movie screen that we put outside in the backyard for the kids. I'd rather watch a movie that way. I got more enjoyment watching this Christmas Story Christmas on HBO Max than I ever did if I probably wouldn't have went to saw it in the movie theater. And I know people will say, well, you can never recreate the ambiance or the feel for being at the movies. There are certain movies that you always have to see on the big screen. I'll put it on the big screen in my backyard. That's it. I don't have to go anywhere. People were saying that Top Gun Maverick was the movie that was going to make people go back into the theater. I remember the original Top Gun coming out in 1986 and watching it while I was still in high school in the movie theater. And I remember watching it, you know, like 10 years later or whatever it was on the regular TV. Yeah, you know what? The movie theater experience did not blow me away. I was not like, oh, you know what? This is Top Gun, but this would be so much better if we had it on the big screen. I don't know. Maybe I'm just different. Maybe I'm just indifferent that way. But I will say this. Like I said, go watch A Christmas Story Christmas. I'm giving it the get off my lawn, two thumbs up and a wink. I don't know why I threw a wink in. Why the hell not? Because of the fact that, like I said, is it going to be the classic the original movie was? No. Is it better than A Christmas Story 2? Oh, hell yeah. Is it better than the Christmas Story original musical? Everything's a musical. Everyone wants to make a musical about something. You go to Broadway, the Lion King, the musical. You know, you had all these Cinderella the musical, you know, Batman the musical. Batman. See, Batman could be a musical too. I hope everyone has a happy and safe Thanksgiving. I hope everyone gets to spend this time with their family, with their loved ones, with their friends, and understand what Thanksgiving is really about. You know, this is the time that it's not about the turkey. It's not about the food. It's about just spending time with those that you love, those that you care about, and be thankful for what you have done this year and what you may have accomplished this year, or what, you know, or maybe something that you just want to just be thankful, because at the end of the day, I think we all have something to be thankful for. I am thankful for, of course, my family and the fact that I'm being allowed to do this new podcast, and that and I am thankful for the fact that people have found it enjoyable and people have began to listen to it and download it quite exponentially. So you know what? Let's hope we can continue that. Hope you have yourself a happy holiday, happy holiday season. We'll have more episodes coming up after the holiday, so probably more towards December 1st. So you know what? As we always say, the truth shall set you free. This is Tim. This is Get Off My Lawn, the Mad Ramblings of a Gen Xer, wishing you and yours a happy Thanksgiving.